Just to go off not a tangent really, I suppose it is connected, but I was just, there's a couple of verses that we picked up on about doing those things that's pleasing in his sight. And I think that's important, that we please the Lord. One of the things that I think we begin to understand is that when we walk in the Lord, we really grieve the Lord. We grieve the Lord when we don't walk in grace. And some scriptures just come into mind on this. And it was Jesus talking in John chapter 8. And he's mentioning in verse 28 that, you know, when you have lifted up the Son of Man, then you'll know that I am he. And that I do nothing of myself, but as my Father has taught me, I speak these things. And in verse 29 of John 8, and he that sent me is with me. The Father hath not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. And interesting, the Father has not left me alone, because I always do those things that please him. It's one of the things that the law grieves God when we go down that. We've already learnt it actually cuts us off from him. But actually when we walk in grace and we walk in truth, it pleases him. And there's something about drawing nigh to him and then drawing nigh to us. And having a walk that pleases the Lord is a very refreshing thing. And actually it engages God with us. And we're not alone. You know, he's very much with us when we are seeking to have a life that pleases him. And it's going to be the guide, I'm sure, in the days that ahead, where you think, how are we going to apply this? God's speaking to us about dropping the law and all these things. This has got to be worked through with wisdom. And somehow in all of this, we've got to say, we've got to have a walk that's pleasing to the Lord, haven't we? And make sure that whatever we do and however we do it, it's pleasing to the Lord. Because that's when God's with you. There's an intimacy with God and you when you're actually doing those things that are pleasing in his sight. And he won't leave you alone. And that's what Jesus said here. I think very much of King David. King David always did those things that pleased the Lord. He had a remarkable walk with God, didn't he? He had a heart like God's own heart, and God was very pleased with him. And yet there came a time, didn't he, when of course he saw Bathsheba and he coveted his neighbour's wife against the law, of course, didn't he? And he sent out, a husband to be killed. And, a tragic moment in David's life, really, where through lust for another man's wife, that he sent him out, of course, and as he got killed in the war, because he put him on the front line, which he knew would happen, of course, he then took Bathsheba to himself and they married. But you read in 2 Samuel, and you read it, that this thing that he did displeased the Lord. This act of David, and this is the only time in his life where he displeased the Lord. Now, what came upon David is he was severed from God. He wept. He knew this loneliness. He knew this emptiness. He knew this separation from God. And he started to cry. And he started to weep. And he was broken because he was destitute. Because that harmony and relationship that he'd had with God got broken. Because he'd done what displeased the Lord. And yet, you read in Proverbs 16, I think it is, 16 or 16, 20, around about there. When a man's ways please the Lord, even his enemies will be at peace with him. There's something about a life, of walking a life that pleases the Lord, that actually engages God with you, and he's very much on your side. And David, through deep repentance, restored that walk back with the Lord again, and was enabled through time to come back to a place where he rejoiced, and his life continued where he pleased the Lord. And then, of course, he cries out, in as many in the Psalms, where, Lord, remember David, remember. His eyes weren't going to close. He wasn't going to sleep until he built a tabernacle for God. His passion was back for God, and he was pleasing the Lord again. And we see a wonderful life there. For 99% of it, he pleased the Lord. And his engagement with God was very intense, very personal, and very real. And the only time he was separate from God was when he did something that really displeased the Lord. And, of course, he was almost a type of Christ, wasn't he? But he had to do that because Jesus was the one who always pleased his Father and never had an instance where he didn't. And that, my Father's not left me alone because I always do those things that please him. And we read in Romans 8 before, didn't we? I put the finger in it. For they that are in the flesh cannot please God. When we desire to please God, and we have this wonderful intense relationship with him, it's very deep and personal, that becomes all the more intense when we please him. But actually, if we walk in the flesh, it says, if any man is in the flesh, you cannot please God. It's not possible to please God and live in the flesh. And of course, that's the law walk in the flesh, trying to attain. So you walk in the law and you walk in your flesh life. Actually, it's impossible to please God. And that's sad, isn't it? It's sad to know you've got a life and you've got a walk where you can't please the Lord. And you can't please him when you're in the flesh. There's a bit in 1 Corinthians also, where he talks about Israel, doesn't it, this particular time, going through the wilderness. And 1 Corinthians 10, he's talking about that they were all baptized into Moses in the cloud and in the sea, and all did eat the same spiritual meat, and goes on. But in verse 5, he says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased. And of course, that's why they were overthrown in the wilderness, it goes on to tell us. They got overthrown with the wilderness because they weren't well pleased. Now, we've had a bit of a warning here, haven't we? That about those in the wilderness, they got overthrown because God wasn't pleased with them. And we've had a bit of a warning today, actually. If we don't do those things that are going to please him, he moves us aside and he calls another. So it's the same situation. That what pleases the Lord is walking by faith. And, it says, but with many of them, God was not well pleased, for they were overthrown in the wilderness. Now, these things were examples to the intent that we should not lust after the same evil things as they lusted. And it goes on, not to be idolaters or so on. And in verse 11, these things happened unto them for examples, as an example to us. They're written for our admonition, upon whom the ends of the world are come. It's pinning down the scripture here about those who actually are at the ends of the world, those at the end of the age, which is the more translation, the end of the age. This is written as an example to those who are at the end of the age, that we've not got to be like Israel and be cast aside because we're not pleasing him. We've got to do those things that do please him. A bit more into chapter 12, which I think is important, and I think this is what we're talking about, the body ministry that God's revealing to us. To please God is to recognise what pleases him and for us to do it. And when we're talking about the body of Christ and wanting to please him, if you're familiar with the scriptures, I'm sure, but it says, but now God has set the members, every one of them in the body, as it pleased him. So it gives one not only different gifts and different functions and different roles, like a saying in the watch. He's set us in the body, each person here in Ulverston up here, he's set you with your personality, with your gifts and with your walk and what you have. He's set you just in the body where it, as it pleased him. Right. So don't covet another man's gift or another man's work. You've got your own. Every one of the body of Christ has got a function. Everyone is important. None is above another. One is more important than another. Everyone has a function. When every part does its share, it will cause growth of the body, it says in Ephesians. So he's set every member here in Ulverston as it pleases him. Now, if we want to please God, we have to make sure that we each fulfil our calling before the Lord and encourage our brother to fulfil his, because that pleases the Lord. Walking in the law displeases him intensely. And if we want to please the Lord, we have to lay aside the law and we have to walk in grace and encourage one another. And, he's set them in the bodies that pleased him. You could spend a lot of time thinking about that, can't you? But look at a jeweller when he's making a ring or a bracelet, he puts all the jewels exactly where he wants to create that harmony and affects a lot of time over it. This is a very big world. And he's set every one of us in place as it pleases him. That if we actually do what pleases him and yield to it, actually we'll be his jewels. We will be his jewels. And we will shine and we'll be a wonderful creation of the church that he will build up and will be a wonderful witness to the world. So our part is to do our part. Not to worry about him or what he's doing or what they're doing. Or he has that problem. As Colin said earlier, we've got to start looking into ourselves. What am I called to go to? Let me walk in it. He's put me where it pleased him. I don't want to please myself. I want to please the Lord. I want to walk. He's made me. If I'm introvert, I'm meant to be introvert. If I'm extrovert, I'm meant to be extrovert. If I have this or that, I'm meant to. I'm happy as I am. God's made me as I am. Just yield to it and go with as it pleases the Lord. Philippians One of the things that the Philippian church did is they were the first to help Paul along the route. You know, it cost Paul everything. He got to say, he had nothing, didn't he? And the Apostle Paul, he'd run out of everything. He had no world to go, so he had no fixed abode. He got to the stage where he was cold and he was naked and he was hungry and there was nothing else left, and he was still serving God. He still kept protecting his gospel. He still endeavoured to preserve the faith when he had nothing. And the Philippian church were the first church to say, hang on a minute, this is not right. You know, he's serving the Lord. He's worthy of his hire. You know what I mean? And so this actually started to help him. And, you know, he actually said to them, you know, that they'd studied with him and so on, eyeball and abound and so on. But he said, I got those things that I received from Epaphroditus, the things that you sent. A sweet smell, a sacrifice, acceptable, well-pleasing to God. God was pleased that they recognised it was a work to be done. We've got to recognise the needs in one another. So, and when we recognise those needs and we minister to them, let me tell you, God is well pleased. Because to love and to share is part of the gospel of the church. And this body of Christ that we see, you know, we've got to be sensitive to one another's needs and to stand in that gap when we need to stand in there sometimes. Because as you see that within your body, and sometimes you might have to do it sacrificially. But know this, that's a sweet smell to the Lord. It's a fragrance to him. I won't go into that teaching, but the Lord is well pleased with it. You know, and I think that's lovely. just over there. He's encouraged him in Colossians, literally the next page. Just pick it up. Yeah. For this cause we also, since the day we heard, do not cease to pray for you and desire that you might be filled with all the knowledge of his will and all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you might walk worthy of the Lord and all pleasing, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. Paul's prayer for them as a church, that they started to have a walk that was pleasing to God. All these hard letters he had to write to the Corinthians, the Galatians and the Romans, trying to get them out of the law. All that he wanted, excuse me, the simplicity of it. He just wanted them to have a walk that was well pleasing to the Lord. There's not a lot more than that. That's the simplicity of it. Don't walk in the law that grieves God and frustrates the spirit of grace, but have a walk that pleases the Lord. Thessalonians chapter 4. Furthermore, then we beseech you, brethren, and exhort you by the Lord Jesus, that as you have received of us how you ought to walk and to please God, so that you would abound more and more. And this is the will of God, your sanctification. But this is, again, he's reminding the Thessalonian church the same thing, how they should walk and please God. And that's, I think, the word that God's given really today, is rather than going by the law and all of these, just simply walk and please God. Every day we can wake up and do those things that are pleasing His sight, aren't we? And just learn to please God, you know, it says here. Hebrews is one, isn't it, which talks about Enoch. We can close these last few bits and pieces, but by faith, in verse 5 of Hebrews 11, by faith Enoch was translated that he should not see death, and was not found because God had translated him. For before his translation he had this testimony, that he pleased God. Now, this is how much it means to God. He was so pleased with Enoch, he didn't even see death. He took him to heaven without death. God delights, you know, when we have a walk that pleases him, it's a precious, precious thing. And the next verse actually says, but without faith, it is impossible to please him. For he that comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those that diligently seek him. If you diligently seek God, you will find him. He is a rewarder of those who seek him, and it pleases him. It pleases him. So the faith walk is what pleases him. Not the law walk, because it's the opposite, but the faith walk. To pursue faith pleases God. Enoch had this testimony that he pleased God. He even escaped death because he pleased God. God just took him. That's how much it means to him, you know, to please the Lord. chapter 13. Again, you find when you've got these things out, it's in all the scriptures all the time. Something you might not have noticed in the scriptures, particularly about pleasing the Lord. But as we were reading before about meeting Jesus outside the camp and having no continuing city, he says, "But therefore, let us offer the sacrifices of praise to God continually. It is the fruit of our lips, giving thanks to his name." So praising him and thanking. "And to do good and to communicate," which means to share, "forget not. For with such sacrifices God is well pleased." So we see again this sense of giving and sharing and of loving and of being part of one another, and walking by faith. These are the things that please God, not the law. In 1 John, 21:22. An interesting little verse earlier, won't go on much more, but 1 John 3:22. "And whatsoever we ask, we receive of him, because we keep his commandments and do those things that are pleasing in his sight." How many of us have linked our power of prayer and the effectiveness of our prayer is directly linked to whether we do those things that are pleasing in his sight? That's a lovely thing, isn't it? You know, whatsoever we ask, we receive of him. Why do you receive him? Because we're pleasing in his sight. Romans 15 is another one that comes to mind, but we'll finish with that one. But well, it gives us the example of Jesus in Romans, where "we then that are strong ought to bear with the infirmities of the weak, and not to please ourselves. Let every one of us please his neighbour, for his good, to edification. For even Christ pleased not himself." And he goes on to explain. So it's that Jesus didn't please himself. He did those things that pleased the Father. Never pleased himself. He did the things that pleased his Father. So we should actually bear with the weak, and we shouldn't actually just please ourselves. But let's please our neighbour. So there's a key thing of what pleases God. Our love for one another. Our care for one another. Our willingness to share with one another, and to bear with one another, is something that pleases the Lord. Amen. And the law is very opposite to that, because he is deeply offended, and we get cut off and we become estranged from Christ if we choose the law. So we have these two extremes that he's put to us today, that if we've got a walk that's pleasing in his sight, your intensity of your walk with him will become ever closer, ever more open to his ear and to his voice. Your prayers get answered and the Lord delights in you. And what more could we ask than that the Lord delights in us because we do those things? And as Jesus said, he will never leave you alone. He will never leave you alone because you do those things that's pleasing in his sight. Mm. That's our choice of walk today, isn't it?
Yeah.
The walk of faith that pleases him one, or the walk of the law that offends him greatly. He's set before us two roads today, hasn't he, really, I think?
Yeah.
Set before us two roads. A walk of faith that pleases him wonderfully. And a substitute, a counterfeit and deception of the law that causes him great offence and ultimately will cause us an immense judgment. And my prayer, as I said before, I'll go out today. Say it in your heart. Say it in your mind. The law of the Spirit of life in Christ Jesus has set me free from the law of sin and death. And this day I'll have a walk that's pleasing unto him.